Last message this morning. I appreciate Brother Tom Gillum. I know our time has run a little long because we didn't get started just exactly when we needed to because of the wreck out front, out at the road. But I appreciate this man, and I appreciate his preaching. He has always challenged my heart. He's always exhorted and help me to know what I believe in my heart. He's encouraged me, and I appreciate this man. I want you to hear him gladly as he preaches to us. You just take us up to lunch. You take whatever you want to take. It's fine with me, brother.
If you have a Bible this morning, you'll find our text in the book of 1 Peter. Book of 1 Peter. We thank the Lord for the privilege to be back at Taylorsville again. My journal serving me right. This is the 26th time on a Monday morning that I have mounted this pulpit to start the first week of a Taylorsville Baptist camp meeting. I do not take that for granted, but count it a great honor to be here. And appreciate what we've already heard about this wave offering. Brother Holcomb, won't nobody steal that message from you unless they can sing, so I won't steal it from you. But thank the Lord for the reminder of a song in our heart. I feel like the Lord has assigned me these morning services to preach on a subject that for a number of you here this morning, it is a rerun. And I sensed in my heart that I wanted to be apologetic for that. But I'm not going to do it. I got to thinking, God must think a lot of you that he would tell you this twice. And maybe you didn't get it the first time, and you need a refresher course. So I'm coming at it with it again. I want to preach in these morning services on the subject of humility. And not because I know anything about it. It is because I probably know very little about it. But I do know it is the paramount characteristic of our Lord Jesus Christ. That he was a humble person. And humility. Don't get all fuzzy-wuzzy with me this morning. Well, that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to humble myself. All hell's fixing to break out. There's one thing the devil does not want you to do is humble yourself. Oh, no. And if perchance you're here this morning and think you're a humble person, it's a good chance you ain't. I want to preach on humility under the auspice this morning of living little in a big world. Living little in a big world. The world says bigger's better. God says little is better. The world says that higher is better. God says lower is better. The world says richer is better. God says poorer is better. Every time that in our text these five mornings that humility is either mentioned or illustrated, we find that the text will give us a demand or a command. And it is as we adhere to this demand or command that we can know that we're beginning to practice humility in our life. We want to begin this morning in 1 Peter chapter number 5. And I want to preach this morning on living little in a big world will demand out of you and I casting. This is how you can know you're a humble person if you're a caster. Watch the text if you have it there in front of you, verse number 5. Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another and be clothed with, here it is, living little in a big world. Humility. For God resisteth the proud, giveth grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. Hey, Peter, just exactly what would a humble person be like? If I was wanting to give myself a humble check this morning, see if I was really a humble person. This is what Peter said they would do. Verse 7, casting all. I did not know if you'd see that word or not. I thought I'd underline it for you. All your care. You'll notice that care does not have an S on it. Care upon him, for he careth for you. Living little in a big world will demand casting. As we begin to unpack the text, could I draw our attention this morning to the action of casting? I notice in verse number 7, he uses the word casting all your care. The little word care is things that cause one to be anxious, to worry or be unsettled and uneasy. There are two things that Jesus never, ever did while he was here on the earth. Never did he do it. Get in a hurry or worry. Can find no text where he did either one of those two things. They're our favorite things to do. Get in a hurry and worry. He knows nothing about it. Care. Matter of fact, God never made you with any ability to carry jack. He don't want you carrying nothing. He never equipped you with any ability to carry anything. So if you're carrying it, you're weighting yourself down because he gave you no ability to carry. He said, cast all those things that are making you uneasy and anxious and unsettled upon him. Of course, in order to do this, it's awful deep. I don't even know if you can get some, maybe way over your head. In order to do that, you're going to have to do this. Humble yourself. You're going to have to get to thinking, I really ain't got no ability to carry this. And give it to him. The action of casting. I notice in verse number 7, this casting. Can you believe this? You'd almost think God wrote the Bible. That the word casting is a fishing term. A what? A fishing term. He's wanting to get this truth out. He's going to breathe it into Peter. But in Peter's brain, all he's got to deal with is, only thing he's got to work with is fishing terms. So he said, well, we just reach and get one of fishing terms. Casting. The little word speaks of a bait net. It would be seen in our world. It is a circular net. It usually has a chain coming off from it, and it usually has a stick on the end of the chain. And you must be able to throw the net, catch the stain, and have the stick in your teeth. Open your mouth as you throw it and catch the stick. It's called a cast net. I have a dear friend down in Cocoa, Florida. I have fished with him on numerous occasions. He is a master at a cast net for bait. He will not buy bait. I begged him to buy bait. He won't do it. He's got to go out there in the morning and catch it. And he wants to go out there before daybreak. And he wants you to go with him. He ain't but 5 foot tall. He's in his late 70s. He's an old Vietnam vet. And he goes out there. He's got that bait bucket on the side of him. I'm sitting one morning in the boat, and I count the head of five alligators with their heads up from the water watching him bait fish. And he ain't scared of nothing. I hollered at him and I asked him, I thought was a very intelligent question. I asked him, I said, what should I do if one of them alligators try to get in this boat? He come back with an intelligent answer. He said, you better get out of that boat. Cast net. It is a fishing action that Peter speaks of here. But not only is it a fishing action, but it is a forsaking action. And this is where we're going to put a number of you, a great majority of you, out. You'll not be able to do it. With this fishing net, you must throw it. This is deep now. You must throw it and let it go. The only way God will ever care for what's bothering you, you must throw it and let it go. How will I know if I've let it go? You will probably never give it another thought if you have let it go. Are you listening to me this morning? I'm talking about living little in a big world. My friend down in Cocoa is a master. 99.9% of the time, he'll throw that cast net, stick in his teeth, open his mouth, throw it at the same time, and catch that stick almost invariably. But every now and then, he'll miss it. And he'll be all wrapped up in the cast net. He doesn't like me doing it, but I laugh my head off. What you reckon God does to you when you come to an altar and cast something on him, and then before you get up, you take it back with you? He sees you walking back to your seat all tied up in that net. You know good when he's chuckling at you. Look at that nut. When they could throw it and let it go. He says, because I am never going to deal with what's bothering you until you let it go. You listen to me this morning. Oh, it is the mark of humility this morning. Watch the text again. Not only this action of casting, but I notice there is an attitude of casting. Notice the statement of attitude. He says in verse number 6, humble yourselves. The little word humble means to have a low opinion of oneself. It does not have the idea of thinking less of yourself, but thinking about yourself less. Amen. We give a lot of thought to me. You know what he said? Quit it. Don't think about yourself at all. Let me have it. Humble. Abase oneself to become as nothing before him. What is the opposite of it? He says, humble yourselves therefore under the mighty hand of God. He says in the text, he said, he resisteth the proud in verse 5. Having an overestimation of oneself, thinking oneself to be further along than he really is. This may come as a shock to you. I hope it does. Did you know this morning you're not as strong as the devil's been telling you you are? You know, the devil's been telling you, you can handle this. Don't go up there. Don't. You be silly. Go up there. No altar. You got this. He loves it. Just stand there and be strong. No. Our God's looking for weaklings. He's only drawn to those that can't. Are you listening to me this morning? I'm talking about the
attitude of casting. But I notice not only the statement of this attitude, I notice the state of this attitude. In order to humble myself, I must compare myself with somebody. See, what we would like to do is to compare our ability to carry something with somebody else's ability to carry it. That's really nice. Well, I know one thing, bless God, I care more than they can. Peter in the text does not ask me to compare myself to you in your ability to carry something. He asks me to compare myself with something else. Notice verse 6. Humble yourselves therefore under rut-row. Whoa! He has brought up a subject for us to compare ourselves with that mighty hand of God and its ability to carry something. Uh-oh! Wow! The mighty hand of God. Time out! Hold on! God ain't got no hand. God's a spirit. He don't have no body parts. Didn't you know that? That would be a good place for you to say amen. Every time that the Bible gives a body part to God, he's speaking about his boy, Jesus. He said, if you're going to compare yourself with your ability to carry something, he said, compare yourself with Christ's ability to carry something. I tell you what, this is awful deep. When I compare my ability to carry something with his ability to carry something, this is what I want to do. I want to throw it and let it go. Some of you have been bothered by some things here this morning, been bothering you for years, and it ain't no better. Why don't you throw it and let it go? Oh, state of an attitude. Remember, Jesus is never in a hurry. He never worried. If I'm going to humble myself this morning, I must come to a place where there must be less of me and there must be more of him. I don't know about you, I'll not speak for you, but my wife back there, you can ask her. I won't let her carry Jack. Never have. If I see her carrying something that bothers me, I take it. I carry it all. If an earthly husband do that for the bride, what in the world do you think of heavenly? Huh? He looks at you and you all weighted down and all carrying something. Oh, get out of the way. Let me have that. You can't carry that. Throw it. Let it go. Let it go. I'm talking about the attitude of casting. Could I mention this morning the accomplishments of casting? Preacher, suppose I was to this morning just finally. Let him have it. Let it go. I ain't touching it no more. May not even pray about it no more. I'm just going to let it go. If he don't handle it, it won't get handled. I'm just going to let it go. I'm going to let it go. What would be accomplished by such a thing? Look at verse number 7. You will see the Lord's care. He says, casting all your care upon him, for he careth. Did not know if you'd see the ETH or not. I thought I'd underline it for you. You'll never see his care until you throw it and let it go. That little word careth there means to have a high regard and a concern for, to fix in the mind of another so that it can be fixed visibly before another. Ruh-roh. God said, if you'll throw it and let it go, he says, I'll keep it fixed in my mind until I fix it in front of you. Wow. Oh, you can keep carrying it if you want to. You ain't going to see nothing happen. Right. Oh, but when you throw it and let it go, it is then. Amen. He'll take care of it. I was thinking about our Lord's ability to carry stuff over in Isaiah. When Isaiah's talking about the a virgin shall conceive and bring forth a son, he makes a statement that the government shall be upon his shoulder. Singular. That's all Trump's going to get this morning. One shoulder. Any world leader this morning, if he ever comes to God, all he's ever going to offer him is one shoulder. That's it. That's all you get. But over in Luke 15, when he went out and got that lamb that was lost and brought it home, he said he placed it upon his shoulders. Both of them. Oh, if you're a child of God this morning, you're riding in high cotton. She's a smooth sail. It ain't even bumpy this morning. If you'll throw it and let it go. Of course, I'm afraid most of us like the old boy. You've heard the story, but I'll tell it again because I want to hear it. Old boy had a tater patch about 2 miles from his house. He'd been down there digging taters. He had a big old sack of taters. He didn't have no transportation. He had that big old sack of taters on his shoulder, and he's heading back to the house. Old man come along in the wagon. He said, "Sonny, where are you going with them taters?" He said, "I live up here about 2 miles." He said, "I'm going to have..." He says, "The door of the wagon back there is down." He says, "Just sit down on that door." And he said, "I'll stop at your house. You can get off." Old boy sat down back there. Kept his taters on his shoulder. Old man took off, saw out of the corner of his eye, taters are still on his shoulders. He brought that old horse to a dead stop. He turned around, he said, "Son," he said, "won't you set your taters down?" He said, "All kind, sir." He said, "I done imposed on you to carry me." He said, "I certainly couldn't impose on you to carry my taters too." That's the way you are this morning. He's carrying both you and the taters. Throw it and let it go. He'll never care for you. He'll never take care of it. Do you throw it and let it go? You will see the Lord's care. But I notice in our text, you will see the receiving of the Lord. He says in verse number 5, "Likewise, you younger, submit yourself unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility. Garment of humility, thinking less of yourself, realizing I can't carry nothing. I'm just not equipped for it. I just can't do it." He said, for that type of person, what will he do? He says in our text that he giveth grace to the humble. That little word "giveth" is a dam break. He says, "I'll just boil them over with grace." But this scared me. This scared me. For the one here this morning said, "Preacher, I'm an old Carolinian. I've been around for a long time. I've been carrying heavy loads before. I can take care of this. You don't worry about me. God don't have to help me carry this. I can carry it all right by myself." He says he resisteth the proud. I was interested in that little word "resisteth" for you that is sitting here this morning and will not throw it and let it go. The little word "resisteth" means to raise up instruments of war aimed at you. God says if you're at a place this morning, you're not going to let it go. You're going to carry it yourself. He says, "I am aiming the instruments of war in heaven at you." I tell you what, if God starts shooting at you from over there, you ain't gonna like it. Are you listening to me this morning? It makes me want to, this is awful deep, I don't know if you can get it or not, throw it and let it go. God resisteth the proud. Oh, you will see the Lord's care. You will see the receiving of the Lord. But I notice last of all, you will enjoy the Lord's strength. He says in verse 10, "But the God of all grace, who have called us unto eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that you have suffered a while." Isn't that what's bothering you, the little old thing you're suffering through? Throw it and let it go. How come I would want to do that? He says in our text that he will establish you. To fix,
to set one's mind on one. But he says, I'll give you peace in your mind, and I'll let your mind be set on me and be alone. He says, I'll strengthen you. He said, I'll build you up in your inner man. I love this, though. He says he'd settle you. What's that word, preacher, mean? The little word literally means to give one hinds feet. What? Hinds feet. Years ago, I was with my son in Alaska. We took a little day cruise on the Alaskan Gulf, and there was a slate mountain, slick, no trees, nothing. Looked like Stone Mountain on steroids. And I looked out of my eye, and there was a goat. Man, that thing had a great old big rack on top of his head. And he was a-prancing up the side of that mountain like it wasn't nothing to it. The boat captain come on. He said, I guess y'all are wondering how that goat's walking up the side of that mountain. I said to myself, here is one old boy that is interested in how he's doing that. This is what the boat captain said. He said he's got hinds feet. Wow. Oh, gracious. Oh, when you throw it and let it go, he is going to give you the ability to walk over any mountain that you've ever walked over. You ain't stumble. You ain't getting hunchback. You ain't getting burdened down at all. You're going to walk on through it. I love that, don't you? Living literally in a big world demands what? Casting. I was thinking again this morning about an old song. You know, you don't often hear a song where all four verses the songwriter asked a question. Really and truly, the questions that he asked are, man, this ain't no answer to that. The first verse says, does Jesus care when my heart is pained too deeply for mirth or song? As the burden pressed and the cares distress, the way grows weary and long. He's pained. Second verse says, does Jesus care when my way is dark? When a numberless dread and fear, as the day light fades into deep night shades, does he care enough to be near? He says, does Jesus care when I've tried and failed to resist some temptation strong? When for deep grief there is relief, though my tears flow all the night long? He says, does Jesus care when I've said goodbye to the dearest on earth to me? My sad heart aches till it nearly breaks. Is it all to him? Does he care? Man, this old boy's out in a dark cemetery. He's got sin in his life. He says, I fail constantly. I've bowed to temptation. He said, the dearest thing that I've got's gone. He said, where in the world is God? Does he even care? I can't help but believe when he got to the course, he chunked it and let it go. Because here's what he said out there in that dark graveyard, in the darkness of sin and the loss of his loved one. He said, oh yes, he cares. I know he cares. His heart is touched with my grief. When the days are weary and the nights are dreary, I know my Savior cares. That's the only time you'll know he really cares, when you throw it and let it go. I was wondering this morning, you got anything going on in your life? You need to throw it and let it go. There is a good place down here. This wood altar up here has carried a many a burden, but it will not carry your burden unless you're willing to get in these shavings this morning and throw it and let it go.
we're standing this morning. They're going to come with a song. God's speaking to you this morning. Sir, hadn't you carried it long enough? Hadn't you tried to work it out long enough? Hadn't you tried to tote your taters long enough? Ma'am, hadn't you tried to tote it long enough? Maybe you're here this morning, you're trying to work your way through your own sin this morning, trying to save yourself, trying to get you a place in heaven for yourself. Why don't you throw you and your sin both on God and let it go? He is a saving Savior. While they play, while they sing, do whatever God leads them to do. God's speaking to you. Living little in a big world, what does it demand? It demands casting. God's speaking. You come, you come.